Next week, church will start at 9:45. I hope you all get the joke. I mean, it's obvious. Also, we were not remembering there was a potluck today, though we probably couldn't eat anything at the potluck because I'm on a special diet of no carbs to low carbs to no carbs. And we also have a friend who's going through some hard times right now, and we're picking him up for lunch today and then taking him to our service this afternoon at Inspirations. And so my apologies on that. Even if we couldn't eat it, otherwise we would stay and chat at least and get really hungry. And I thank Pastor James for the privilege of filling in for him. And that is a privilege to me and to minister to you folks and share the Word of God with you. And before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your Word. And what a blessing it is to turn to it and to see what you have for us. And I thank you for Pastor James and for his ministry, for his life. And I too pray for him and for Katie for your clear direction in their lives. And your strength and your will to be done. And I pray for Pastor James as he goes this week to the Village Missions Conference that it would be a real time of refreshing for him. And I too pray for safety for him going and coming, but that he would be refreshed and just find real joy in his heart and in fellowship with these others from the mission. And Lord, as we look to your Word now, we're dependent on you. May we have attentive hearts, just like those young people, to hear what you have to say. Speak to us, Lord. We're listening. We look to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Stories told of a church member who stopped by one of the deacon's homes and asked the deacon if he would go to pray with a poor family. The husband in the family had broken his leg, unable to work. They were struggling, and the fella thought that maybe if the deacon went and prayed with him, it would help. And the deacon said, "I can't stop right now. I can't go and pray with him." He was in the middle of harvesting apples, and in the middle of his work, he said, "I just can't do it." He said, "But I tell you what, you go down to my cellar and get some corned beef, salt pork, potatoes, and butter, and take it to him. That's the best I can do for the moment." You know, when it comes to loving your brother, sometimes actions speak louder than our prayers. Actions speak louder than words. And here was a family had a need, and they needed the food more than the prayer. And he could pray for him while he's picking apples or whatever. Title of today's sermon is, "As I Have Loved You," in the words of Christ. And when Jesus met with the 12 disciples in the upper room on the night of his betrayal and talked with them, he gave them a momentous mandate. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The thing about his mandate is, it wasn't just words. He didn't just give them a mandate. He demonstrated that mandate. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35, Jesus told the disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Sometimes it's questioned, what did they mean, a new commandment? He'd already said that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. What's new about this? And yet it is a new commandment. Because what he's commanding is not only to love one another, but to love them as I have loved you. The command to love your brother or love others as yourself is a general command to treat others the way you would want to be treated, basically. This is a command to follow in Christ's steps, to love the way he loved. That's pretty awesome. And how did Christ love them? Well, as I mentioned, Christ not only gave them the mandate, the command, but he lived it out before them. And he had just done that. So let's go back to verse 1. And here we'll be looking at verses 1 through 17, there in John 13. But there are several points in which Christ demonstrated his love, the way we're to love each other. And in verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." One way Christ demonstrated his love to the disciples was that his love for them was unwavering. It was unwavering love. Christ knew all their failures of the past. Christ already knew how they would fail him in the future. He knew that in the garden they would flee from him. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. And yet he loved them to the end and continued to love them. You know, sometimes, even within the body of Christ, there are tensions, there are things that come up. Somebody fails us. Somebody says something that is almost treasonous to us. Do we love them to the end? He says, "Love each other as I have loved you." Unwavering. That's hard. That is hard. It's easy to talk about love. It's hard to do it. And he's saying, do it. Love like I loved you. It's unwavering. I loved you to the end. And he was coming right down to the end, and he knew what was going to happen and what they would do. Do we love each other that way? That's a good challenge. Secondly, Christ demonstrated his love by living it out. He didn't just say, "Hey guys, I really love you." He showed it. It wasn't just so many words. So pick up in verse 2. "And supper being ended," and I'm reading from the New King James, which may be a little different from whatever you have. "The supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Here we see his love for them in action. Love as I have loved you. Love in action, in the doing of it. Taking that basin, the towel, washing their feet. Washing somebody's feet is a humbling thing. And with them, you know, their feet were dirty. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But he lived out what he taught. He didn't just talk about love and what it was and what they should do. He lived it out. And back in Matthew 20, 25 through 28, you can turn there or not. We'll be right back here to John 13. But in Matthew 20, 25, But Jesus called them to himself, them being the disciples. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. We need to live out our love for each other with a servant's heart. It was love in action. Jesus had a servant's heart. He says, love each other the way I've loved you, with a servant's heart. That also brings out another aspect. Christ's love for them was humble. A really humble love for them. Going back up to verse 2 in John 13, passage we just read, but looking at a little different aspect of it. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. There were certain traditions in that day. And one of those traditions was that when you came in from being outside, that the host was responsible to see that the person's feet were washed. And usually, if possible, they had a Gentile slave wash the feet because they didn't want to dirty themselves. If that wasn't possible, they would have a Jewish slave or servant wash the feet. If they didn't have one, it was their responsibility to wash the feet. Well, they had come in. Some of the disciples had been sent ahead to prepare things. And everybody came in. Nobody washed anybody's feet. That was just too humbling. No servants there. Who's going to do this? Peter, are you going to wash the feet? Me wash the feet? John, what about you? Well, Matthew. Nobody did it. And here is Jesus, the Master, the very Son of God. They were all laying around a table. They didn't sit at a table the way we do. They reclined at table with their feet sticking out behind, sort of on their side, and eating. Jesus got up. I can imagine the disciples thinking, what in the world's he doing? Pours water into a basin, a slave's task. Takes off his outer garment. Takes a towel, wraps it around him, kneels down. And Jesus, the very Son of God, washed their feet. He took the place of a humble servant and wash their feet. He says, love others like I've loved you. We've got to love each other with a certain amount of humility. Which when somebody comes into our midst, maybe they've been working, maybe the water wasn't working, might be whatever, or maybe just whatever, but they come in and mercy. Keep my distance. Will I humble myself and wrap my arms around that person and love them? That's asking a lot. But his love was real, real acts. Reaching out in love to the dirtiest part of their bodies at that point, their feet. Lord, help me to love like that. Love as I have loved. Are we willing to set aside our selfish biases and be stretched in serving our brothers and sisters, even the ones we find unlovely? It's quite a challenge. Number four, Christ's love was not only humble, it was gentle. Here he is taking on the form of a servant in humility, washing the disciples' feet, and he came to Peter. Verse 6 in our text. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? It's like he's saying, you, Lord, you're the Christ, you're washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, oh, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew about Judas. So here he comes to Peter, and who do you think you are, Lord, to wash feet? You're better than that. You're the Christ. You aren't going to wash my feet. But Jesus didn't jump all over him. He just said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Well, Lord, wash me. He was gentle with Peter. He wasn't harsh. He was straightforward. He said what needed to be said. But he was gentle. And there are times, even in the body of Christ, there are things that need to be said. But we need to do it gently, with the love of Christ. And Christ's love for them was gentle. Are we gentle in dealing with brothers and sisters and responding to those who rub us the wrong way? Peter was rubbing him the wrong way, you might say. Are we gentle with them? But let's go on. Number five, Christ's love was also accessible. You know, it was there for all of them, for whosoever will. And that's demonstrated as well. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and it goes on from there. But you know, he even washed Judas' feet. Even though he knew Judas would betray him, he washed his feet. There's that person who just, are we willing to wash their feet? To love them anyway? It's tough. But Jesus was accessible even to the one he knew would reject him. Are we accessible? To whomever. You know, does our love extend to everybody? Quite a challenge. And then finally, number six, Christ's love for them was communicable. In other words, it was capable of being passed on to others, and he intended it to be passed on to others. And so we read in verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to love each other in that same kind of way. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." In essence, he's saying, as I have demonstrated love to you in a practical, real way, demonstrate that love to each other. Reach out to each other. You know, do others not only see Christ's love in us, but do they experience Christ's love from us? There's a difference. Oh, they're a loving, sweet person. We see the personality. But do they experience that love coming from us? Do they want to emulate that love? Christ is saying, I'm passing this on to you. And it needs to continue to be passed on. So in conclusion, speak it and live it. That's the simple conclusion. Speak it. I love you. I care. You know, every marriage or relationship like that, it's so important to say, I love you. I can't remember who it was a while back. It's been some time ago. Saying, my spouse never says, I love you. They show it, but they never say it. We need to say it, but we also need to show it. Words mean nothing without actions. But with the actions, we kind of like the words too. You know, they kind of go together. And again, this is the mark of a Christ follower. Jesus said, you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, this demonstrable love that goes beyond the norm. It says, when you love that way, they'll know you're my disciples. In response to Christ's momentous mandate, I have to ask myself, is there anyone in the body of Christ that I'm failing to truly love with a servant's heart? And this has convicted me. It's been about a month ago that I was sitting in Carl's Jr. I kind of use that as my office. Go there early in the morning and have my devotions and then do my writing and sermon prep and all that kind of stuff. And I was sitting there having my devotions, and it was on this passage. To love as I have loved you. To love your brother. There's a lady in the church there at Pahrump Community that for years I just found irritating. She bugged me, and I did all I could to avoid her. And I'm reading the passage and saying, yeah, Lord. But Lord, point out anything in me that I need to work on. And that lady walked through the door. And God pierced my heart. And I got up and I went over to her and her husband, greeted them, and then I told the lady, I love you. I care about you. I saw her again to ask her if I could share that story. And I told her about my attitude. And I apologized for my attitude and the way I had treated her for years in trying to avoid her. She said, "I'm so glad you told me. Yes, you can share the story. But you know, that put feet to this for me personally. Is there someone you need to show that love to, one way or another? A change of heart, change of attitude, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to truly love one another as Christ has loved us." What a challenge. But you know, after talking to her, my heart was lifted. There was a new joy. It was a blessing. The initial part was difficult. Getting up from that seat and going to her and expressing that. I'm so glad I did. And it's just totally changed my attitude toward her. I truly do love her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Your love demonstrated in sending your Son to this wicked, wretched earth to be abused by us people and nailed to an old rugged cross. Jesus, your love was demonstrated in so many ways. Reaching out, touching a leper, the untouchable, washing the disciples' feet, loving even Judas. Wow. Lord, the only way I can love that way is by you instilling your love in me. By the power of your Spirit, help me to love my brothers and sisters, whoever they might be, and to live out that love with humility and gentleness, that you might be seen in my life and our lives, that your love might shine. And I pray it, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. There's a sheet in your bulletin. Make me a servant. How many are familiar with that chorus, "Make me a servant"? Okay, a few of us. And we'll sing it through twice because it's just a good chorus to think on following this message. Let's stand. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my life heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Lord, may your love and blessing rest and abide on each one as we have a potluck, go our separate ways, May you be exalted in our lives through this week, and may our love for you and for others shine. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord bless you. You are welcome.